Almighty God, you are holy, so strong and mighty. You died and rose again with all power in your hands. I will forever sing your praise. I will forever sing your praise. Beautiful Lord, seated high and above, capture my heart and enthrall me with your love. Captivated by you, oh Lord, you are my one and sole desire. I will forever sing your praise. I will forever sing. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, most holy one. You are my friend and King, my Savior, Lord, most holy one. You died with all power in your hands. I will forever sing your praise. I will forever sing your praise. Beautiful Lord, seated high in the clouds,
God is. And you know, it's not often that I have to remind myself, because you get to a point in life with God is all you have, and all you can do is lean on him and thank him and praise him just because of who he is. God is good and worthy to be praised. I tell you, there is no one like him. All of my life, he's been with me. He's been walking with me and talking with me. And I tell you, I've never felt normal. I don't know if you can relate to that, but I've always felt different. Like there was something different about me. And now I know that there is. Amen. If you've never fit in, if you've always felt like an outsider, if you've always felt rejected, if you've gone through some trying times in your life, if you've been neglected, if you've been abandoned, if you have just had to fight all of your life, then know that's because God has his hand on you and that he has a divine purpose for your life. He has never intended for you to fit in. You've always been special. You have to know today that you are special. You are special. God loves you. God loves you. He has a great plan for you, and he is making and molding you. No matter where we get to in our walk with God, God is always making us and molding us into what he wants us to be. You know, sometimes we can think we've arrived. We know the scripture. We've read the Bible about 5-6 times from front to back. You know, some of us have prayer. We could pray and know that we have touched heaven with our prayers. Some of us are, you know, just Bible scholars. We could go to a text and expound on that text, exegete a text. We feel like we have arrived in so many areas. But don't you know that no matter how far you go and how much God advances you in life, there is still more that God has in store for you. God is constantly molding us and shaping us and making us into his image. God does not want us to stay put. He does not want us to stay stuck. God has a divine plan for us, and it is to bring us to that place of promise. There is a promised land for each and every one of us, and none of us have arrived. None of us have arrived. And to me, that's good news, to know that God didn't see fit to lead me where he found me. Well, we're going to have open lines today, and I thank God for my husband, my wonderful, wonderful husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons, who's going to be opening today. I just gave you a taste of what was on my heart because I didn't think I had anything, but my heart is overflowing with exhortation. The Bible says out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we're going to get started. You can call in. Today is open lines. You can call in and talk to us. Let us know what's on your heart. We don't want to do all of the talking. We want you to call in and talk to us. So I'm going to just give it over to my husband, my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons, is going to get us started on today. Honey, you're on the air.
Amen. To God be the glory. It is just an awesome time to be alive and to be in the household of faith today. It is so ironic that we did not talk today concerning what was in our spirit. But as you said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's where God led me today as we begin this show, Matthew chapter 12, the 30th verse. I just want to read a few verses of scripture, and then we're going to shed some light on this text and talk about what we want to talk about today, the power of words, or the power of our words. Words make a difference. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, amen, he said, "It is written." And it's just so powerful. The written word of God is just one of the things we have, the thing that we have to combat the enemy in our lifetime. And we always win with the word. So I just want to read a few verses of scripture. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30 reads, "He that is not with me," Jesus is speaking here, "he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. that the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever, remember that word, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. That is so powerful. Either make the tree good, that is our choice today. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt. That's another choice that we have today. And his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. And I just want to emphasize verse 34 today. O generation of vipers, how can you be evil? Speak good things. For out of the abundance or the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow or the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's such a powerful few verses of scripture, Pastor, and to those listening today, that what's in our heart is going to come out. Hallelujah. Well, what's in our heart is going to come out. So it behooves us, and it would be wise of us to create our hearts and to build our hearts and to mold our hearts with the Word of God, so that as we speak, we begin to have what we say. He says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our pastor and I, we had a powerful service at New Creation Church on this Wednesday. And at the end of the service, we talked about the spirit of forgiveness, how we must forgive people, those who have been violated as children, those who have been abandoned by people that they trusted, those who have been offended and wronged in the workplace, those in the church who have been hurt by church folk, those who find even family coming against them in this hour. We still are called by God to forgive, because what Jesus knew and what I know and what you should know is that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. If you have bitterness, if you have anger, if you have resentment in your heart, that is what's going to come out. If it was a bad divorce, or if your children did you wrong, or you got wronged at the workplace and you're still bitter about that, that's what's coming out of your mouth, and you're going to have what you say. Hallelujah. You're going to have what you say. And two of the points I want to talk about today as we get into this, we're going to have what's in our heart, and we're going to have what's in our head. We are going to have, meaning possess, what's in our hearts, and we are going to have what's in our head, our mindset. As a man thinketh, so is he or she. And out of the heart flows all the diligence of life, flows out of the heart. So keep thy heart in all diligence, the proverb writer said. And one of the things about church and sitting up under a great word and allowing the word of God to be poured into your life is that you become that word. And that's what Jesus was saying to his disciples. You got to become the word. That's what Moses and God gave the instruction to Joshua. Meditate on that word day and night, and you'll have good success. The first psalm says we'll be like a tree planted near streams of living water, and whatever we do, we'll prosper. And that is a condition. If we have the word of God in our lives and we put our hands to the plow and not look back, we're guaranteed success. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know who that's for today. But you are guaranteed success if you allow the word of God to get into your heart and to get into your mind. You are guaranteed success. So that's why it's so powerful when we allow our words to line up with the word of God, when we allow our words to line up with the word of God. And the only way that's going to happen is that you read your Bible, you get into the word, you listen to preachers, you listen to sermons, you listen to gospel music, and allow the word of God to come into your life, and your spirit man and your spirit woman is now built up. And as life comes, the storms come, the trouble come, the trials and tribulations come, now you have something within yourself or your mindset to fight with, now you have the word of God. So that's what Jesus was saying, is that if you're not for me, you're against me. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be against God.
Mm.
And then he goes on to say, a good tree bears good fruit. So we should try to become good trees. We should try to, if you're a parent, you should try to put the things of God in your children so that they can be good fruit. If you're a father or mother or a mentor, or you're an uncle or aunt or a cousin, you should try to be a good tree that bears good fruit. And then he says, how evil trees bear evil fruit. And you, in another text, he said that you'll know a tree by its fruit. And I remember my mother, God bless her soul, that she used to say that old saying, fruit don't fall far from the tree. Hallelujah. When you look at the ground under an apple tree or orange tree, and you see that fruit on the ground, you can look up and know that before you look up, you know that that was an apple tree or orange tree that that fruit fell from. Before you recognize the tree and you saw the fruit on the ground that wasn't far from that tree, you knew what kind of tree you were standing by. And that's what God is saying, that the truth is going to reveal itself one way or the other. One way or the other. So that's why you and I got to watch our words that we speak, because we're going to have what we say, we're going to have what's in our heart, and we're going to have what's in our mind. Pastor, I don't know, but when you say out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, I remember being bitter as a young man. I remember being angry. I remember having this edge in my life. I didn't have the peace. I didn't have the joy. I didn't have the happiness that the gospel promises. And that stuff was coming out. And a lot of people don't like the secret or New Age or positive thinking and all this stuff. But the idea of what they're saying is true. You begin to attract what you are.
Yeah.
And you have any thoughts on that? You begin to draw to you what you're believing, what you're speaking, what you're thinking.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it's just so powerful what you're saying about out of the overflow of the heart. Who knew? And, you know, and the phone lines are full. And we want to hear your thoughts, not just on what Pastor said, but also on what's in your heart. You know, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that's why the Lord gave me today. It was, my God, everything's lining up with the Spirit that God said that's the topic for today. It's open lines, let the people call in and talk about what's on their hearts and what's on their minds. And that's what God, some of you have so much to talk about, but you may feel like you don't have a place to let your voice be heard. Well, today you can let your voice be heard because God is clearly saying that he wants to hear what's on your heart. He wants you to begin to share what's on your heart. We bottle so much in, and we feel like we don't have anybody to talk to sometimes, or nobody understands. Well, God says, you know, today is the day for you to let your voice be heard. And Pastor Emily, it's just so powerful because I just said that I didn't think I had anything to talk about today, but then God began to share with me that whatever's in your heart, when you open your mouth, that's what's going to come out. And as long as I'm filling myself with the word of God, then the word of God will come out. And that's what you just said so powerfully, that when you do begin to open your mouth and speak, what you have been putting into your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth. That's why it's so important that we don't just sow garbage into our hearts. You can't sit up under just anything. If somebody's abusive, if somebody's negative, if somebody's always talking about the bad things in life, you don't want to sit there and listen to that person on a daily basis, especially if this is a teacher in your life or a preacher in your life or even a pastor. You want to make sure when you're choosing the church, that you are choosing to sit up under somebody who's going to speak life. See, with words, we can either speak life or we can speak death. And it's the same thing when you come here. You know, when you come here, we're always complaining, always talking about our enemies, and we're always talking about the negatives. Then, you know, basically we're sowing seeds of negativity. So what we want to do is make sure we're doing a heart check, checking our own heart, and sowing seeds of positivity. We want to build you up. We want to exhort you. We want to encourage you. And the only way we can do that is if we build ourselves up, if we exhort ourselves, if we encourage ourselves, if we check the our own hearts to see what's in our hearts. Do I have bitterness in my heart? I recently had to do a heart check, like, do I have bitterness in my heart? You know, do I have unforgiveness in my heart? Do I have anger in my heart? And I exhort you all who are listening today, everybody on the, that's on the phone line and in the chat room, to check your heart, examine your heart. What's in your heart? Have you gotten so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good? In other words, do you have all word, you know the word, but you're not living the word? That's just so important. You know, we can get stuck in the rut where we think we have arrived, and that's what I was talking about earlier, Pastor Anthony, where we know the word, but we're not doing the word. And James said not to be just hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. So that's so powerful. And then you talked about the new age belief, and that's something else that we have to think about. New agers have only stolen, they've only taken what's in the Bible. They've stolen it, and they stripped it of Jesus, and they're using it to their benefit because the principle works. The words that you speak in your mouth and the power of the tongue is life and death. You have the power in your tongue to speak life, or you have the power to speak death. And whatever words come out of your mouth, that's really what you're going to have in life. So if you're always running around saying, I'm sick, I'm so sick, I'm so sick, I'm so tired, I don't feel good, I'm so sick, I'm so tired, I don't feel good, if that's what you're constantly saying, then you are sowing sickness into your life. If you're constantly saying, I'm so broke, I don't have no money, I'm broke, I don't have no money, then you are sowing poverty into your life. If you're saying, I'm miserable, I'm not happy, then you are sowing misery into your life. Whatever you speak out of your mouth, you are sowing those very words into your life, into your future. So it's just so important that you speak the right words. So the new age power of prosperity, the power of the positive thinking, all of that stuff works because it's from the Bible. But nothing, see, the benefit we have as Christians is that we have eternal life, because that stuff, just thinking positive and just speaking positive, cannot give you eternal life. Nor can you ever take advantage of the full blessings of God if you're using positive thinking to motivate yourself, or if you're using positive affirmations just to have a good life. It's important that you know that you cannot take God's word and separate God's word from God. Amen. So the phone lines are open. Pastor Anthony, are you ready to open the phone lines?
Oh, absolutely. I'm just excited, and I got the sense that people want to speak what's on their heart or in their mind.
Yes.
There's so much going on, the political race, looking at our culture, looking at our world, looking at even God's church. Many people on this line are representative of God's church. So people have something to say, and I'm glad they're going to interact with this conversation because, as you said, this is a forum, this is a platform where we can just come together and dialogue and share thoughts and share what's on our minds on this weekend. I'm excited.
Amen. So the phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. I'm excited too. I'm trying to calm myself down. We already have two callers on the line. Let's just put these callers on the line. Area code 757. You're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast today.
Hello. How are you?
Oh, good. Bless. How are you today?
I'm all righty.
Well, you're on the air with Pastor Emily and Pastor Rebecca. Let your voice be heard.
I was calling in just for touching you for being in prayer. A prayer request. I want you to pray with me on.
Okay. Anything in specific?
I applied for a job last week at the Virginia Department of Juvenile Justice. I want to pray for favors for interview and job to come through. I applied for a very high paying position job, and I wanted to pray for favors.
Amen. Sister Ricks?
Yes, it is.
Amen. God bless you. Good to hear from you. Good. How was your summer?
it was okay, prosperous, okay, things are coming along.
Amen, amen. You know, it's amazing because as you were speaking, you know, the God just began to show me that he's been, his hand is on your life, his hand of divine favor is on your life, and God's been blessing you even over the summer, you know, so many things that you've been believing God for, and I just see God continually opening doors for you, and even as you go forward and apply for the job, there's a job that God has specifically for you. I'm going to pray for this job that you just applied for with the juvenile department. I'm just seeing so clearly that there is a very distinct position that God has for you, and there's a door that's already been opened. So I'm also going to pray for direction for you, for God to lead you in that direction that you need to go. Where he's going to take you, where God is going to take you. And God is just, I just see God drawing you closer to him, Sister Michelle. God is drawing you closer to him. God is asking you even to accelerate your prayer life, to accelerate your prayer life. You're a praying woman. You love the Lord. I just see some gaps where the enemy is trying to come in, is trying to come in and sabotage your walk with the Lord. And God said this is a season where he needs you to lean on him more than ever. You know, he just really needs you to just really depend on him and lean on him. This, you know, it's a season where I feel a grieving in my spirit, like there's been some heartbreak and disappointment for you.
Yes, it has.
I just feel really almost like crying, you know, because it's just been a season. It's been a very tough season for you.
Yes.
And God is saying he's allowed this. He has not caused this to happen in your life, but he's allowed it. God has allowed it because he's calling you. I just see him beckoning you, you know, with his hands out. You ever see those pictures with Jesus with his hands held out?
Yeah.
I just see that. I just see it so clearly that God is beckoning you to come to him. And I don't know what happened with you in the church. You know, I just sense that there was some hurt, some church hurt that took place in the past, maybe with you and some leadership, some people in the church that were in a position, a high position. And that you kind of have had some disappointments even in that area. And, you know, God is just calling you back because there's some work that he wants you to do in the church, even in the church, you know. And God wants to heal you. You know, I just see God saying that this is a season for healing, for great healing. There's a guard. You put your guard up. There's a guard that's been put up. And you're walking around. You know, it's like, I'm not going to let nobody else hurt me. That's kind of like what I'm picking up from you, that, you know, I've been disappointed enough and I'm not going to let anybody in. But God is saying that he's sending some people into your life that you can trust, you know, that won't hurt you. But there's been a breaking. This whole season for you has been about breaking, and you find yourself in the wilderness. And God is saying walk towards the light. Walk towards the light. Begin to pray and ask God, you know, what it is that he would have you to even to do in the church and where it is that he would have you to be during this season, because this is a season where God wants to use you. There's some giftings on the inside of you, even the giftings that he has put on you, on the inside of you with children. And he wants to use that in the kingdom as well as in the secular arena. So I just see God clearly walking you in a direction, but I also see the gaps, and the devil tries to get into those gaps, and God is saying, come closer. He says, come draw near to me. He's saying, draw nearer. You love the Lord. You love the Lord, but you've been hurt, and your guard is up, and God is saying, trust me. Don't trust man, but trust me. I'll never put any more on you than you can handle. So I just had to, you know, I just felt the release for that word. But I want to pray for you. Pastor, can you pray for our sister, even for as she's put her into
also
her
housing, too, Prophet. It's also housing, too. I want to buy a house, too. Housing, too.
Amen. For her job, the release of her divine assignment in the workplace, and also for her housing.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. It's amazing as you were speaking into her life. God showed me that she should just be radical about claiming that job. A lot of people don't believe in naming it and claiming it, but God put in my spirit, even as you were talking, how we've been in our house for almost 15 years. And I'll never forget there were a couple of other buyers, and they were trying to outfit us. And we came in the house. They let us look around the house. And we came up here with our children, and we laid hands on every room, laid hands on the house, we laid hands on the outside of the house, and we claimed that thing. And almost 15 years later, we are still here, and this house has been a blessing to us. So even if there's a house on the market or a house in line, go ahead and claim it and lay hands. Don't let nobody see you. They might think you're crazy. But it's just so awesome. God told me to tell her, wherever this position is, with the juvenile position, as far as your workplace, you probably put in the resume, you filled out the application, you went through everything you need to go through. But you're waiting for the phone call. But just walk around the property. Go ahead and lay hands on the door. Do something radical and claim that job. If you have favor on your life in this season, and it's concerning housing, watch what God do with radical faith like that. Amen?
Amen.
So let me pray, but go ahead and lay hands on the property or the job that you have in mind, and I believe God is going to touch it free with you. You shall have what you're believing for. Believe and receive. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for divine favor being on my sister's life, Lord. Even, Lord, as she is looking for this job to open this door, Lord, thank you for favor with the hiring power, the human resource department, Lord, those who are writing the checks, and those, Father God, with the ability in the name of Jesus to have her hired with that company. So, Lord, I thank you for divine favor on her life. Even, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as she moves forward by faith, that you will honor her faith, because in your word you said it's impossible to please you without it. So, Lord, even if she continues to pray, that you would open this door for her, this financial blessing, even, Lord, this position that she's looking for. She already went through the natural, practical way of getting this job, but now she needs a supernatural intervention, Lord, in the name of Jesus. There might be more applicants, there may be more interest, but in the name of Jesus, Lord, let the name just rise up off the page, and let those who have the hiring power just say, I don't know why, but I want to give her a chance in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we touch and agree with her today, even as she is believing by faith, even by bringing it to our attention, because she understands the power of prayer and the prayer of faith. Even concerning housing, Lord, in the name of Jesus, she understands market, and we understand what's in the natural concerning the housing market. But, Lord, even in this area, she has favor. So, Lord, let her walk the territory. You said everywhere the foot of her soul shall prayer you shall give to her in the name of Jesus. So I thank you for territory. We thank you for property today. We thank you for access and financial gain in every area of life. So, Lord, bless her and bless her indeed. Enlarge her territory with a house. Glory to God. So I thank you, Lord, even as the credit rating and the finances, Lord, and her financial record, Lord, is getting into position to purchase a home in the name of Jesus. We thank you, glory be to God. The loan is already, the mortgage is already approved in the name of Jesus, Father God. The loan has already been approved by you in the name of Jesus. Rosh Shabbat. So we thank you for favor.
Thank you, God.
So bless her, Lord, as she moves forward by faith.
Thank you,
Jesus. Show her your hand. Show her who you are so she can serve you all the days of her life. Encourage her heart in this season, Lord.
Thank
so we thank you for answered prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I see you, as Pastor was speaking, I saw water walking faith. It's amazing that you talked to Sister Michelle about faith, because I see God saying, walk on the water. Walk on water and don't be distracted. Watch the distractions. Walk on water. This is a good season for you, my sister. Wow.
Jesus.
When you come out of the praise, it's going to be so powerful. And I want to pray for healing. Father, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus, even for the prayer that's already gone forth. I touch and agree with what Pastor Emily has already prayed. Lord, I thank you for divine healing over the life of our sister, God. In the name of Jesus, she's been hurt and she's been been disappointed, God. I just thank you, Father God, for healing her broken heart, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for the balm of Gilead. You said by your stripes we are healed. So, Lord, we just thank you for this deliverance of salvation. When you say stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So, Lord, we just thank you, hallelujah, for even, Father God, healing her heart, Father God. By your stripes she is healed, oh God. In the name of Jesus, nothing shall by any means harm her, God. Thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against her can prosper, oh God. We silence every wagging tongue, oh God, that has risen up against our sister. And Lord, we just thank you, hallelujah. Even, Father God, even as she goes down from this place, God, Father God, that she is healed, that she is delivered, that she is set free, oh God. In the name of Jesus, that the joy of the Lord is her strength, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh Lord, we just thank you for joy overpouring, overflowing in her life. We thank you, Lord, for peace, oh God. There is the peace of your children, oh God. We just thank you, Lord, that you've given her a peace that surpasses all understanding. We thank you for faith, oh God, accelerated, magnified faith, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we just thank you that today is a new day for her, God. And she's walking forward, Father God. Father God, endued with power from on high. We thank you for power, God. Oh, God, we thank you for power. You said that we shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon us. So, Lord, I anoint her right now with the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Lord, have your way. Have your way, oh God. Have your way. Have your way. Touch God. Touch. Lay your hands on her, God. Oh God. In the name of Jesus. Oh God. So Lord, we just thank you that it's already done. Thank you that every need is met according to your glorious riches by Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God. You're a blessed woman. You're blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow. It's already done. I heard you, Pastor. Jesus. It's already done, Sister Michelle. Sister Michelle Ricks, it is already done. Amen. God bless you, my sister.
Thank you so much. Bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. We'll talk to you next time. Amen.
Okay.
Call us back with that praise report.
I will. You know I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Go in peace. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, we have another caller. Amen. It's open lines for Pastor Anthony, Pastor Rebecca Simmons. You can call in and let your voice be heard. The sister called in for prayer, and we know that it's already done. God has already done it in her life. And we just thank God for his word, which will not come back to him void. Area code 908, you're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast today.
Yes, I am. This is Brother Brown. What a great story, great inspiring story. When you stand out on faith, prayer does change things. Let me start by saying that it's an honor to be here. It's an honor to be talking on y'all's shows. This is very educational as well as food for thought. I just want to say that so much is going on. You know, I'm in agreement with your topic on you got to be careful what you say. You got to either speak life when you're under direction of God, whether it be amongst yourself, couple, whatever, because I've said some things that to my spouse that I really didn't mean, but I love my wife. And just recently, situation, and I don't want to go into it, where I was expressing my mind spiritually on Facebook, and a family member attacked me derogatory in messages and sort of was like trying to get my wife involved or divide us, but I know that's a trick of the enemy.
Yes.
Also, I just ask that y'all pray that I remove this offensive attitude, because I've been known to become offensive for every little thing, and it's a poor excuse, but it's, you know, something that I need to work on, you know, towards my wife, you know, Daniela, which I love her to death. I mean, sometimes I say things I really don't mean, and I should think more carefully before I, which, again, I'm in agreement. This is why I'm answering towards it, because you got to be careful what you say, because what you say may become a scar to someone else. Well, we're talking about her, so to speak. And I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful to gradually be making steps towards getting my mind right, because just the other day we had a shooting around here on Salem Avenue. I don't know if you heard, right across from where we reside at, three teenagers got shot, you know, due to a hell of bullets, you know, that could have been meant for someone else. We don't know
yeah.
if it was drug-related or whatever. So much is going on day in, day out. A lot of our soldiers and soldiers, meaning young sisters, are dying left and right behind ignorance, behind stupidity, other people's stupidity. And so
yeah.
I definitely want to... you know, do the right thing by being mindful of what I say to her or whatever. I want to continue speaking life, even though I'm still a babe in Christ.
Yeah.
I still want to keep in mind that's important.
Yeah. And then I'm going
to ask. That's important. I can't stress it no more.
Yeah, I'm going to ask Pastor Anthony to pray, but I want to know, you know, Lord just having me ask you, we have to sometimes identify where the anger is coming from, you know, because, you know, like you said, you love your wife. You love your wife, and you love her to life, you know, and you don't want anything, you don't want to hurt her, you know, you don't really
no,
want to
hurt her. No, I definitely don't want to hurt her. I definitely don't want to do that because she's been through enough as it is, and
right.
I got to cope around certain things, but that's why I love her unconditionally, because God loved me. And it's not the attitude that I want to continue to take on. I want to remove that, but I want to remove the offensiveness, because I get offensive a lot, and I'm going to be the first and last to say this. I'm just being honest.
Right, because you're not mad at her. Who are you mad at? And that's the thing.
I'm mad at a lot of things with myself, a lot of things, and I say this to say that when I was younger, I allowed people to make decisions, talk over me, and say things that it's almost like I allowed people to determine my life when I was younger. But it wasn't until I got older till I started speaking up. Well, my late teens started speaking up and started being more vocal and making sure that I follow, you know, people that's in the right direction, whether it be, you
yeah.
know, mentally or spiritually, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So what
yeah,
I'm saying to you is that I allow, you know, whether it be family or, you know, so-called friends or what have you. And I hope I'm aligned in with your topic.
Right. No, that's all right. This is no topic. This is let your voice
be heard. I'm here to learn.
Yeah, that's why we're hearing your heart. You know, what happens is, what's going on with you is, you know, there's unresolved anger, you know, unresolved anger, like somebody really ticked you off a long time ago in your childhood, like you said, and some things happened that hurt you. You know, anger comes from pain. See, when I'm hurt, you know, when somebody inflicts pain on us, it makes us angry. And what we do is we hold on to that anger. That's where the problem comes in at, because now that anger, if it's not resolved, begins to flow out into the lives of everybody that we touch. So now people
right.
that really haven't done anything to us, or maybe they do something to us, but it's not that big, now they get the anger from what they just did to us, and they get the anger from the person that hurt us or the people that hurt us a long time
that's
ago.
Right.
That's why God is so clear on forgiveness. That's why he says you have to forgive the people that hurt you. And that's hard, too, because pride says, why should I forgive them? Because they don't deserve to be forgiven. They really hurt me. But
right,
your
right.
freedom, your freedom, your when you're getting ready to be set free, I'm gonna declare it is today. God's gonna set you free today.
And I receive
by saying,
it. I receive it.
Amen. By saying, look, this person hurt me. This person hurt me, or these people hurt me when they did or said what they did and said to me. So, you know, just take your mind there. This person hurt me when they did or said what they did and said to me. Now, because of that, they have had control over my life, because I have been acting in anger. I have been offended, and I have been striking out as a result of that past pain. And then you have to say, Brother Mel, today, I choose to let them go. Not for them,
but for me. I need to see, you need to be free. So the thing about they don't deserve to
be
forgiven. That's right. I hear you. Your words are power. You just got free. They don't deserve to be forgiven. No, but you deserve to be free. You deserve to be free from that anger. You deserve to be free to love your wife like she needs to be loved. You deserve to be free to respond to whatever's going on in your household. Respond to that and not to all that mess from your past. So today, I just ask you, even before Pastor comes and prays, I just ask you today just to say, I release them. They hurt me.
I release them. They hurt me, but I forgive them because I need to be free, and I want to be free.
Yes. Hallelujah. My God.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
And by faith. And say, by faith.
And by faith.
Today.
Today.
I declare that I am free.
I declare that I am free.
Amen. Hallelujah. Forgiveness is a choice, but it's also supernatural. See, now the devil will come. Let me tell you what's going to happen. The devil will come and say, oh, man, you ain't forgive. You're still mad. You haven't forgiven them. And you just have to say, Satan, get behind me. I rebuke you. I am free. And you just keep saying, I have forgiven. Keep, even when he comes back, because what? The devil is what? He's a liar.
He's
a liar. So when he comes and say, you haven't forgiven, you're still mad at them, what is he doing? He's lying. He's lying to you. So you say, no, the truth of it is, I have spoken it out of my mouth. The Bible says I shall have what I say. I declare that I have forgiven and I am free. So I know you're free, brother. You're free. And God is, listen.
I receive it. Thank you.
Amen.
I just wanted to be honest and, you know, and get clarity or get, you know, help on it.
Yeah. And that's where we get help. Yes, God does it. All we have to do is make up our mind that we want it. And if we want it, God will give it to us. If we want, see, salvation means I'm free from sin, Satan, sickness, and death. So when you say you're saved, that means you're free from sin, sickness, Satan, and death. None of these things have any hold on you. I'm telling you, and anger has no power over you because you have the power in your mouth to say, you know what, they did me wrong, but I'm not going to let them hold me hostage in my own heart.
I forgive them.
They're not going to stop my joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So that's why you got to keep what you're doing, getting the word.
I keep reminding myself. Keep seeking his kingdom. Keep seeking.
That's right, brother. That's right. Pastor Anthony.
Amen, amen. I want to pray, Brother Mel, for you. But before I do that, when we started off the show, I don't know if you were here, but we read Matthew chapter 12, verse 30 to 35. But I didn't read two verses following that. Listen to what the Bible says, how we got to note the power of our words. Verse 36 says, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, it shall give account thereof the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned.
Wow.
So that's how powerful our words are to God. Even after we close our eyes on this side, Jesus is speaking right there. He says every word, every idle word, meaning that word is not fruitful, that word is negative, that word is not being productive, will be taken into account. So I'm so glad that you said God is not done with you yet. I want to change.
I want
to be different. And with that kind of mindset, God has a powerful man of God to work with. Most people don't get where you are today. So you are already successful. You are already victorious. Crying out to God, the only one that can help you, the only one that can change you is God. So we know you love your wife, and we know that he talked about a good tree being good fruit. You want to have a good marriage, not just being married and fighting all the time, arguing all the time, but want to get your marriage to a place of peace and prosperity where you're building each other up and moving forward in your marriage. So as I pray, one thing about my wife and myself, you know we bring the word because we know the word is going to make a difference in your life. Father, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for Brother Epiphany. I thank you, Lord, even as he has, Father God, made it known that he know you can change him. He know that he is a new creation in you. He know that he can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens him. Now, Lord, we thank you that this mind be in him, which is also in Christ Jesus. We thank you that through your words, he'll become slow to speak, slow to anger, and quick to listen. According to your word, Lord, I thank you that he is new today. He is different as he goes forward with his life today. He is a new man in you. So, Father, I thank you for the new Emil. I thank you for this brother who has changed. I thank you that he has a mindset hungry for the things of God. So, Lord, give him the supernatural ability to let go and let God, to let the past go, to even as he talked about childhood hurt, to be able to remove it supernaturally from his life. So when he see those who hurt him, he cannot feel any anxiety. When he see those who he's mad at, he don't feel no resentment. When he see those who have hurt him, there is no anger, no ounce of anger left in his body. So, Lord, I thank you that you have removed the sting today. I thank you that you have removed the stumbling block that's trying to keep him from his blood Christ. You have removed the anger that he can love his wife freely and that he can move on.
Please talk.
And love the people that hurt him. That's what your word says. To love those who have come against you. So, Lord, let him walk in this kind of love. Let him walk in this kind of understanding and wisdom in the name of Jesus. Now give him the power. Give him the capacity and give him the ability to live out the scriptures, Lord, in the name of Jesus. So we thank you for this brother. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So, Lord, you order his steps. You lead his life. You said if we follow you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we are your disciples. So he is a man of God, I declare, over his life. He is a good husband, I declare, over his life. And he
Lord, have your way in my life.
God, I declare over his life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Wow. Amen.
Brother, as my wife just said, you are new. But trust me, as she keeps saying, the enemy's going to come and try to lie to you that you're the same.
That's right.
But you talk back to those thoughts and say, no, I am different. I am healed and I am changed.
Mm-hmm.
Talk back to every negative thought that comes to your mind and make it obedient to the word of God.
That's right.
Yeah, and get 2 Corinthians 5:17 from your Bible. Go to your Bible, get 2 Corinthians 5:17. Write it out on a piece of paper, put it in your wallet.
Yes, I will.
Therefore, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, all old things have passed away, and all things have become new. You're new. So that's your word. Just walk in the newness of life. All that old stuff from your past has no more power over you because it's all passed away. God has put it, even your sins have been put into the sea of forgetfulness. Even that old stuff, even the stuff you did before you called the lie, God, because you just repented, God put it into the sea of forgetfulness. So you're walking in the newness of life, brother. And, you know, even when we make mistakes, just be quick to repent. You know, that's why it's so, we always stress the importance of putting the word in your heart. Get that word in your heart, because that word, that's where your power comes from. It comes from the word
mm-hmm.
of God. God embodies his word, which means that the word is alive, is quick. You know, the Bible says in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh. That's Jesus. You know, Jesus is the word made flesh. So when we look at the word, it's not just dead words in the book. It's like sometimes you could be reading your Bible and you feel a quickening in your belly. That's because the word is getting up in your belly, moving around and moving the mess out and filling it with the message of God, which is the good news.
Mm.
Your life is filled with good news, brother. I mean, my God, your future is so bright. It's just, I just see the sun shining in your future and the future for you and your wife.
I receive it.
My God, because you are priest, provider, and protector, because you are the man and you're coming to God with everything in you, and your wife is coming to God with everything in her. Believe me, as the both of you line your lives up, that's what Pastor Amy and I did, because Sister Daniela contacted me before the show to see if we were going on the air. And, you know, as both of you are hungering and thirsting after God, the Bible says you shall be filled. You shall be filled with nothing but good things. So just know that the future is so bright. And another scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. God says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. My God, your future, and the NIV says, God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. President Barack Obama quoted that in his speech where he used another God's living word, God's word verses, which says, your future is filled with hope.
That's
your
right.
future is filled with hope. And when we take that word in Jeremiah 29:11, our future is filled with hope. The devil has no power. So, no, brother, you have the victory. You already have the victory.
Okay, one quick thing. The Corinthians, that was 17, verse 17. What?
2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Yeah, chapter 5, verse 17.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
Again.
God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Likewise to yes. you and Pastor Anthony.
Thank you.
Amen, my brother. And memorize that 2 Corinthians 5:17. Just keep reading it. Memorize it. In your spirit. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we thank God for Brother Mel, Sister Daniela, and Sister Michelle Ricks, who called us. Amen. And the phone lines are still open. You can call in. It's been a quick hour, and let your voice be heard. We want to hear what's on your heart. You know, if we can counsel you, if we could pray for you, you know, just call in, and we will definitely be glad to do that. And we just thank God for those of you who are listening. Amen. If you have anything on your heart that you want to talk about, just press 1 if you're already on the line. And if you're not on the line yet, 646-652-4832. 646-652-4832. Call in and let your voice be heard. Amen. Because we want to hear from you. I thank God for those of you who are here. I see everybody, Evangelist Cynthia Robinson in the chat room, and also those who are on the phone lines. God bless you. It's good to see you all out there tuning in to the Woman to Woman to Man show. Pastor Anthony.
Hey, man, it's so powerful that one of the songs we play in our church is a song called Higher. I want to go higher in the Lord. And our daughter, this is our youngest baby. She just went to high school this year. And Pastor, she's excited about high school. But as I thought of the word high, meaning to be above or to exalt, or to go higher. That's what God promises us, to exalt us in due season, to elevate us, to bring us above. And our prayer should be to go higher where we are, higher in our hope, higher in our understanding and our wisdom, higher in our walk with God. And one of the things about what we're talking about today, when we get our hearts right and we try to line our lives up with the Word of God, our entire lives become elevated. Our quality of life, everything begins to fall into place, and life never becomes perfect, but you'll be amazed your standard of living when you line up your life with the Word of God. And as we go higher in the things of God, what we're talking about today, that every idle word will be noted by God, and the power of our word. It is just so amazing that the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that word let means to allow or to permit or
wow.
to give permission to. We got to give God permission, Pastor, to change our minds. We got to give his ways a hide in our ways. We got to give him access to our lives. We got to let our minds be an open door to what he wants to put in there. You know that text where it says, When Jesus or the God cleans out a house, and there are many spirits in that house, and when he cleans it out, if we don't put something else in there, the spirit that was there, the demonic spirit that was there, come back and he brings some friends, even 7 times stronger, and the condition of that man is worse than the initial condition. When God cleans our lives up, even as Brother Emil today, God is doing a new work in his life. When God makes room for himself in our lives, because there's a void without him, we got to keep filling that stuff up with the furniture of the word. We gotta start now furnishing our temple, our house, with the word of God. Putting in a new TV set, that's the word of God. Putting in new furniture, living room set, that's the word of God. Putting out the old and in with the new. We gotta allow our minds, our spirits, our bodies now to be filled up with the things of God. That's why prayer is powerful. Becoming a tither, believing in the supernatural principles for prosperity, allowing yourself to serve, even when you don't feel good about yourself, I dare you to serve somebody else. If you're going through in your marriage, if you're going through with your finances or in your health, go ahead and do some ministry and watch what God do for your life. Because it's so powerful. When we supernaturally do the things that are not of this world, we get supernatural results. And there are many people who are medicating themselves with Prozac and trying to get through life, trying to medicate themselves with drugs and alcohol, and some people are just filling their lives with immoral sex and immorality and corruption. And God says, I have a better way. I have a better life. I have a path for you. I know many are going through the wide gate, but on this narrow road, there's such a powerful life waiting for you. So that's the kind of listeners we have, Pastor Rebecca, who tune into this, and I know there's better. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, exactly. And I thank God for the listeners, because it lets us know, you know, that we're not just spinning our wheels. You know, when God gives you something, he doesn't expect you to just hold on to it for yourself, but he expects you to give it out, to give back. You know, that's what the scripture talks about. In Genesis 12, God was telling Abraham, he said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. You know, he says, I will bless those who bless you. You know, when we think about the blessing, the whole concept of blessing, we are blessed to be a blessing. So whatever God gives us, whether it's wisdom, and we know that's from the Lord, whether it's money, prosperity, whatever he gives us, whatever gifts he gives us, because we know that every good and perfect gift, according to the scripture, every good and perfect gift does come from God. So when God gives us something and blesses us, it's not for us to hold on to it for ourselves, but for us to be a blessing. And I was thinking about that even as I was sitting still listening to you, and I love listening to you, Pastor Anthony, because the Lord has blessed you with so much wisdom. And I was listening to you. I was like, Lord, you have, you opened up this medium, you know, where people that can never make it to our church, you know, they have their own pastors, you know, that we can play a small part in their lives, you know, where we can speak life, edification, exhortation, encouragement, even some education into the lives of people that may never cross the threshold of 87 First Street. And we just thank God that he has given us that heart, you know. And I tell you, Pastor Anthony, it's something that you have to be careful of, too, when you have people listening to you, because, you know, the devil will want you to get caught up in, are they listening to me? No, they're not listening to you. They're listening to God. So what we have to remember even is that, and I said it earlier, and I've been saying it the whole broadcast, is that we have not arrived. You know, just as I listen to you, Pastor Anthony, you bless me. You know, I'm so glad you're here with me on the show. And as I listen to Brother Mel, he blessed me because he reminded me, you know, of how much God has even done in my life in that area of anger. You know, when I listen to different people that call in, it just allows me to know that I'm not, even Michelle, when she called in, Michelle Rick, it lets me know that I'm not out here by myself, that I'm not the only one seeking God's face, that I'm not the only one that has a heart for the things of God. So it's just a blessing to be in the company of my brothers and my sisters in Christ, and even those who are looking for God. And to see God working in our lives, all of our lives. God is still working in my life. I shared with you last night, Pastor Anthony, that God had me strip my title. If you go to my Facebook page, anybody that's been on my Facebook page would know that I was Pastor Rebecca on that page, and then I went from being Pastor Rebecca to Prophet Rebecca to Pastor Prophet Rebecca Simmons. And then every time I went to my page, I was like, you know, it was like, you know, and for a whole 3-4 weeks, I went through that. When I went to my Facebook page, I was like, So then God spoke to me one night, you know, God spoke to me one night, and he was like, strip it down, strip it down. You're not even comfortable with it. You don't like all that pastor prophet stuff on your page. You don't even like it. Take the titles off. So, because I wanted to go back to Pastor Rebecca, which is was fine with me. But God was like, no, I'm not going to let you go back to Pastor Rebecca. Strip it down. Facebook wouldn't let me change it just to Pastor Rebecca. So I stripped it down, and I just had the Rebecca Simmons. I was like saying to myself, well, God, what if somebody calls me Rebecca? What if they forget to add the title? And God was like, oh, really? Get over yourself. Get over yourself. You know, if they call you Rebecca, if they call you Sister Rebecca, if they call you Pastor Rebecca, they call you prophet, they call you prophetess, what does it matter what they call you? You know, what matters is not on what's going on the outside of you or what people call you or what title they put in front of your name. Is who are you walking as? Are you walking as a child of the Most High God? Who are you? Who are you really? Really, when you think about it, it's like, are you beginning to hide behind the title? You know, and I had to think about this, and I had to examine myself. And I said, you know what, God, you're right. God is always right, y'all. I said, you know what? I'm just going to strip the title and just be. Sometimes we're so busy trying to be deep or be spiritual or be saved. Sometimes we're trying to be that pastor or be that prophet or be that evangelist or be that teacher or be, you know, whoever. And God is saying, I just want you to be my child. I want you to be in relationship with me. I want you to be Christian. I want you to be the one, I called you by my name. And that's what God is saying. You know, before we got the title, before any of that stuff, we were just Rebecca and Anthony. And, you know, what God is saying, I just need you to be Christian. I need you to identify with your real self. And that's what God is saying on today. I need you to identify with your real self. Yeah, the title of the Fivefold Ministry, that's a gift. We don't take away from that. I thank God for the honor of serving as pastor. I thank God for the honor of serving as prophet. I thank God for the honor. But at the end of the day, when I stand before Jesus Christ, he's going to say, well, Rebecca, what did you do on earth? And what did you do with what I put inside of you? And how did you walk? Did you walk in arrogance and pride? Or did you walk in humility? Did you walk in hatred and recompense and vengeance? Or did you walk in love and forgiveness and kindness? God is looking for the fruit. You talked about the fruit, Pastor Anthony, and we have a caller. Amen. And the fruit will not fall far from the tree. The tree is Jesus Christ. He's the root of Jesse, my God. He's the tree. He says, my Father is the gardener, and I am the vine, my God. He said, you have to stay connected to me. Hallelujah. The root. So what kind of fruit are we bearing? Galatians 5 talks about the fruit. Kindness, love, peace, joy, self-control, faith. All of these things we need to be walking in. Amen. Hallelujah. I need some fruit. And I'm here to say, me personally, God is still working on me. Amen. Pastor Emily, we're going to take another call. I don't know if you had anything to say about that before we take this next call.
Yeah, it's so powerful. Can I just read a couple of scriptures that just line up with what you said? Because everything you said is biblical. Bible says, but he giveth grace, wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives those who are humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Draw near to God, God will draw near to you. He goes on to say, turn your mourning to, turn your laughter to mourning, your laughter to weeping. But he says, humble yourselves under God, and he'll lift you up.
My God.
What you simply said is that when we thank God for the time, thank God for the mantle, but when we humble ourselves, he lifts us up. He gives us grace when we're not prideful.
And that's what
titles and positions and positions of authority. sometimes we can just act out and think we're somebody that we're not. But the Bible scriptures right here just says we all got to humble ourselves continuously.
Yeah. Yeah, amen, amen. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. Thank you so much for that scripture. Well, we have another caller, amen. And you can call in and let your voice be heard, 646-652-4832. Press 1 and we'll put you on the air. Area code 754, you're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast today.
God bless you. God bless you. You went there. I said, now, let's listen at us. You went there. About when you were talking about the titles and the positions. God will not call you by title. And too many people, like you said, God will not call you by title. He's going to call you by your name. too many people in church is hiding behind titles. Revelation, the second chapter says, we have found some that call themselves apostles, but we found them to be liars.
Wow.
You're saying you're that, but like you said too, we don't see the fruit. You say you're an orange tree, but you're not giving no orange. You say you're an apple tree, but you're not producing no apple. Who cannot testify that you are what you say? In other words, who sees the anointing of the position that God has called you to? Or what the church is suffering from now is a lot of self-made people.
I
need to be something. I need a title. And you make yourself be title, but you're not exemplifying the fruit thereof, and that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing. You're saying, you know, okay, watch this. Because you prophesy does not make you a prophet.
Yeah, that's good.
Like I always say, because you're standing in your garage don't make you a car.
That's right.
We're trying to place and post stuff on ourselves that God has not equipped nor anointed us, but when you get in church, it sounds good, and you just want to be recognized. Jesus, and I'm going to leave you alone, but Jesus was talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. He said they don't want to do nothing but have a front seat. They don't want to be nothing but stand on the corner and have people to bow and pay homage to them and kiss their ring and say, oh, almighty pastor, almighty this, almighty that. But he said, but you're full of dead man bones. You're whitewashed tomb. You're just a show. There's no substance to you. And this is where we have to come into. We got to make sure that We are what we say we are. Because a lot of people are going to stand before God. A lot of people are going to stand before God. And God says, but I called you to do a work. And you're going to say, I was trying to be like Prophetess Rebecca or Pastor Anthony. He said, but I didn't assign you to be Pastor Prophetess Rebecca or Pastor Anthony, I assigned you to be you, and you took the initiative to be somebody else. And because you did their job, I don't owe you anything. Because you didn't do what I hired you to do.
Wow. There's so much in that. Yeah, and it was just registering with my spirit as you were speaking, Apostle Amica, because like I said, the titles have their place. You know, they have their place. But we get to a point where even with titles, and this is the thing that God is really dealing with me on, where we, as I said, talk about hiding behind the title, but we get to a place where we're hiding behind the title and we're hiding from God, you know, mm-hmm. And thereby not allowing God to do the maintenance in our lives that he needs to do the pruning
mm-hmm.
in our lives
mm-hmm.
that he needs to do in order for us to continue to be effective in the work that he has called us to do. See, the title is more than just about glamour and people bowing down to you. It's about the work. When Jesus called Peter to pastor, he told Peter to feed my sheep. When he called
mm-hmm.
Jesus Peter to preach, he said, "Do you love me?" When he called Peter to preach, he said, "Do you love me?" And Peter was like, "You know I love you." And Jesus was like, "Peter, do you love me?" He was like, "You know I love you." And he asked him again, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "You know I love you." And Peter got offended, which showed that there was still work that Peter needed done on him. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Feed my sheep." And Peter still was having issues because he looked over at John and said, "Well, what about him?" and Jesus said, "Don't worry about him. You follow me. You just stay in your lane. You follow me. Look, keep your eyes on me." And that's what we have to do. We're so busy, those who don't have titles, this is for everybody in the body now. We're so busy trying to manage somebody else's walk with God that we are neglecting our own personal walk with God. We're not allowing God to fix us. We're walking with unforgiveness. You know, we talk about haters. That's a very popular topic in the church. Your haters. You know, drop them. Let them go. You know, kick them to the curb. Cut them off of Facebook. Well, what happened to the scripture that says if you have an ought with your brother or your sister? Because a lot of our haters now are even in the church. So what happened to the word? No, the word that tells us to go to that brother, go to that sister and talk it out. Let's talk about it. Yeah, it seems like you have an issue with me. I definitely have an issue with you. Can we talk about this? And if that doesn't work, then get a couple of people and come and sit down as a group. And if that doesn't work, take it to the elders. And if that doesn't work, now you could cut them off. But see, we don't even, we jump all over that. We don't even want to go through that process. No, I'm forget about them. I'm done with them. And we are guilty, so many of us, even leaders, are guilty of that. And God, we're not in compliance with the word. We are not in compliance with the word. And God had to deal with me with that because I got tired. I got tired of being kicked. I got tired of being bitten. I got tired of being stabbed by Christians. And I said, you know what? Forget about it. I'm not going to even put up with that person. And God was like, "Oh, really? You're not going to put up with them? You're just going to cut them off just like that, huh?" You know, because what we have to remember is that we're called, people are called into your life. We say this for a reason, for a season. Or for a reason in a season, you know. So people are coming into your life either to pour into your life, or for you to pour into them, for you to teach them some lessons, or for them to teach you some lessons. You might be an apostle. You're an apostle, and you might look at somebody, one of your congregants, somebody that you also a pastor. So you might look at one of your congregants, and think that you're just there to teach them something. But lo and behold, they really have come to show you something, to teach you something, you know. And it's like we're missing it because sometimes we get so high and mighty with our position and our title, and we don't lower ourselves and humble ourselves like Jesus did, who thought it not robbery to consider himself equal with God. And, you know, but he just took on the form of a man, you know, and he served. He washed the disciples' feet. And when's the last time we washed somebody's feet? You know, who are we serving? Or we just want to be served. So God, that's on my heart. This is open forum. You know, God's been dealing with me like, humble yourself, girl. Humble yourself. Humble yourself under my mighty hand, not so I can exalt you, but humble yourself so I can mold you and make you and shape you and finish doing what I need to do in you so you can be even the more effective when I put you in front of the people that need to hear what I'm putting in your belly. You know,
yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes. You know, Michelle Obama this week said one of the most powerful statements I've ever heard anybody say. She said, being the president does not reveal, it does not, in other words, it does not make you anybody. It reveals who you are.
Although
my title is apostle, but my position is slave.
Wow.
That's good. My title is apostle, but my when it comes to God, I'm a slave to God. I got no agenda. I'm only here to do what he tells me to do. I'm only here to obey him. And we elevate ourselves higher than the position. Pastor Anthony was saying the way up is down. The more you humble yourself, the higher God will exalt you. There's a scripture in Ezekiel. It says, remove the crown, take away the diadem, which means take away all of that outer garment that lifts people up. And the Bible says, and God says that I will overturn, and then overturn. Take all of that stuff off you that you put on yourself, and then I will raise up those that need to be raised up, and those that are too high, I'm going to make them low.
Yeah.
And that's what God is doing in this dimension of the church, is because some people have put themselves chief apostle, archbishop. You know what you're saying when you say stuff like that? You're saying, I got the seat next to Jesus up there on the throne room of God. I'm chief. The Bible only tells me about one chief apostle, and that's Jesus. He's the chief, and he's the bishop of our souls. But people have put themselves up to these positions, and watch this. Watch this. We can't see God for looking at you.
Wow.
Whatever you're doing must only reveal Jesus. It don't reveal Stephen. It don't reveal Pastor Anthony. It don't reveal Popinus. The work you're doing, it must only reveal Jesus. If we're in the way, then we're out of order.
Wow. Pastor, I'm going to let you jump right in there.
It's so powerful what he's saying. You know, we heard First Lady speak also, and she said even with her husband having the highest office in this nation, it didn't change who he was. It revealed who he was. And
that's
so powerful that God said in Ezekiel, I'll give you pastors after my own heart. He didn't mean for that title, I'll give you pastors, to go to our heads. He meant the second part, after his own heart. It was all about God. I'll give you pastors with my heart. So you know, one of the scriptures you talk about, honey, a lot is he'll give us a new heart, the heart of stone that many of us possess before even coming to Christ. It's just so amazing. Isaiah the prophet said, every mountain will be made low, every valley be made high. The crooked places straight and the rough areas plain. God has a work to do. And as the apostle just said, if we get in the way of people seeing God, that's what Moses' job was. That was the disciples' job. He said, follow me. Jesus was very clear. When he talked to those 12, he found those fishermen. He found the tax collector. He found Nathan, everyone was a real Jew, I forgot the name, but when he said follow me, he meant that. So as we continue to follow Jesus, Pastor and Apostle, we do need to get to the place where the fivefold ministry is being used in the earth realm, but that's why the Bible fits together like a puzzle,
He says that the arm cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. The neck cannot say to the foot, I have no need of you. Pastor, you alluded to it earlier. We need each other regardless of our title.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Pastor Emily, that is just so powerful. Wow, we're having a powerful discussion right here. Let your voice be heard. You can call in to 646-652-4832. Press 1 and we'll put you on the air. We definitely want to hear from you on today so that we can begin to let your voice be heard again, begin to hear what's on your heart. We don't want to monopolize the conversation. So if you have something to say, this is the time to press 1, and we will definitely put you on the air. We had Brother Mel with us earlier. I see some things going on with his number. Brother Mel, I didn't know if you were trying to get back on the air. If you are, just press 1, and we'll put you back on the air. And all of you also who are still on the line, some of you have never called in, and some of you have called in the past. If you want to talk to us about this topic or anything else, you can just press 1, and we will definitely put you on the air so that we can let your voice be heard. But this is powerful. Even when we can all be transparent with each other and really take it back on to Jesus, take it back down to Jesus. We get so far away from Jesus, but there is power. There is still power in the name of Jesus. And he was a prime example for us of how we're supposed to walk on this earth. So,
you know, you just said something. You just said something. A lot of times when Jesus would do work and miracles, he would tell the people, he said, don't tell nobody what happened.
Wow.
Don't tell
yeah.
nobody what I did. Somebody, in John 9, they asked the man, say, who did it? He said, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know who did it. All I know is a man came up and I was blind and now I see. Well, what was his name? I don't know his name.
Wow.
What did he look like? I don't know what he looked like. Why? Because Jesus, even in his ministry, he did not want people. He didn't want to point his, you know, he didn't want to stand in the way of God. He wasn't pointing people to himself. He was pointing to people, Jesus. Jesus. He was talking about Jesus. He was not pointing people to himself. He was pointing people to God. He said, well, hey, it don't even matter what my name is or who. Nothing. No glory in me. One guy called him and said, good enough. He said, why are you calling me good?
Wow. Yeah.
Why are you? Ain't nobody good but the Father. And so, the problem, okay, let me go back to this. Isaiah 6 said, in the year that I die, then Isaiah, he said, now I see God. Because Isaiah he was a good man in the beginning, but the Bible said that when he looked around to see how God had blessed him, now he wanted to put himself in the place of the priest. And the another guy I was just reading about in, I think it was in Romans, the Acts, this week, Pastor Anthony knows where it's at. And the people were saying, oh, listen to him. He sounds like a god. He's talking, and his voice, and what he's saying. The king did not rebuke the people who say that about me. He allowed them to boast in him, and the Bible says, God, kill him. He said, I will not share my glory with nobody.
Yeah, that's so powerful what he's saying. And you know, one of the scriptures said how light came into darkness. In other words, Jesus came to the earth. And people didn't come to him. They didn't want the light because their evil deeds would be exposed. But it's such a powerful thing
what we're talking about today, and I hope that the listeners call in. I understand that people are listening and trying to glean from what we're talking about, but come on and call on in. But one of the things is amazing in the hour in which we're living, there are a lot of Jews who are giving their life to Jesus, who are becoming believers in Christ. But as I listen sometimes to some of the Jewish people who are leading this charge, they say one of the toughest people to reach are the rabbis, because the rabbis have conditioned themselves so much in the Word of God and in their position that many of them are calling and wanting to talk to these men of God who are leading people to Christ and saying, I know I should be saved, but I'm a rabbi. I'm in such a prominent position. I've been so conditioned in this vocation. And if we allow ourselves not to be humble, no matter how we've been conditioned, no matter what we've been trained in, it takes humility to become saved. It takes humility. Jesus told many of scriptures, have faith in God, also have faith in me. So it takes a person with a mindset to say, okay, I'm just going to lose my natural way of thinking, my practical way of thinking, and I'm just going to believe by faith the word of God, that if we humble ourselves, he'll reveal himself to us. So I thank God for this topic today, because pastor and apostle, what we see in our day is a lot of people who kind of, you know, are high-minded, and we wonder why the masses are not coming into our church. I mean, look at this world. You would think the churches would be flooded with people. Just look at the world around us. But what are they seeing in the body of Christ? What are they seeing with the church to give them a stigma about the church, to give them a stereotype of the pastor or the clergy, that they don't want no part of it? And sometimes we got to take a good look at ourselves and say, God, what do we need to tweak, or what do we need to fix so that we can become attractive to the world again?
Yeah, Apostle.
Dude, Pastor Anthony just said something that people, in especially pastors and leaders in churches, have elevated themselves so high that the people, and the Bible clearly tells us, you know, we respect you, but I'm not gonna put my faith in you. And the more the church goes and when people allow the people to lift them so high, then God will allow that same person to be brought down. You know, because the focus is not us. It's about God. It's all about Jesus and God. I mean, Jesus humbled himself, the Bible says. He humbled himself so much that he was even obedient to the cross.
Yeah.
We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus. That Jesus told him, said, if I wanted to, I could summon legions of angels to come and rescue me if I wanted to. But nevertheless, this is why I'm here, to show you that we must humble ourselves even to the place of being slaughtered, being crucified, being spit on, being talked about, being a slave to God, a slave to Christ. Slave has no idea. Slave has no thoughts. Slave has no, you don't have nothing, you have no feelings, nothing. What are you here for? I'm here to only do what the master tells me to do. That's my position. I'm only here to do, and we people in church has adopted their own agenda and aborted at the same time the agenda of God.
I don't want to
do what God told me to do. I want to do what I want to do, and this is what's going to look good for me to do, and I'm going to look good doing this. And like I always ask, what do you do than what God wants you to do. It's not what you want to do.
Yeah. That's a good question.
When you say yes,
that,
Lord,
Yeah, that's a good question. What do you do? Yeah, what do you do when what God wants you to do is not what you want to do? That's a good question, Apostle. I tell you, that's powerful. Well, on that note, we have another caller, so hold your thoughts. We're going to open up the phone lines and let this caller in. I'm glad people are calling in today. You, too, can be on the air. Just press 1. If you want to be on the air, you can call 646-652-4832. This is open lines today. This is when the lines are open, and we are just bringing people on the air to express themselves and share what's on their hearts. Area code 201, you're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord, and may God bless you and Pastor Anthony. And I thank the Lord. I wasn't going to call in. I was just listening and thoroughly learning from what I'm hearing. But the thought came to me, many times when you're in a position as a leader and you are the one that's teaching, and then a pastor or someone, you bring ask someone to come in, and they come in and bring a powerful word that touches everybody in the congregation. And then even when the altar call is made, and when you see your pastor say, you know what, this word is for me too, and I will go to the altar, I'll lead the charge. But many times when you're leaders in leadership position, and when you have those positions, you don't want to go up to the altar. You don't want to acknowledge that you need to be the first one at the altar. But I witnessed a service one time. I was in Trenton and one of our leadership conferences. And Mother Paige, she's a pastor out of Elizabeth and a dynamic woman of God. She was one of the first women to bring a message in the convocation for the Church of God in Christ in New Jersey. And she preached a message. And I saw elders, I saw pastors, I saw mothers, I saw, including myself, when the altar call was made, because she reminded us that we are only the mouthpiece, but we don't speak the words. The words that we speak are the words of God and the words that the Holy Spirit has placed in us to speak. And we are speaking, and we're standing there speaking the word of God. And we need to make sure of our calling and be sure we're where God wants us to be. But sometimes positions and titles will keep you from acknowledging this word is for me. But a pastor or I can't speak for a pastor because I'm not a pastor. I can only speak for mothers because that's what the Lord has called me. All right, when you as a mother, when that word comes forth and some of the same and it touches you, you have to will humble yourself because you want to do what the Lord told you to do. And if it touches you, you really don't care. You are thankful that the word has come. I would not want the word of God to come and hit me and I not be able to go forward, and even no matter who's there, and say, Lord, that's for me. Help me. I'm standing in need of help. How can I minister to someone else when I'm standing in the need of help myself and will not acknowledge it?
Yeah, that's powerful, Mother Rosa. I'm telling you, that is just so powerful because, and isn't it great leadership when you think about it for leaders?
Wonderful.
Yeah, because you're showing the people, look, the altar is the place to be. Look, this is where we go to meet God. And here I am as a leader saying, you know what, I'm taking this altar call myself. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I do it in our church sometimes. When Pastor Emily is preaching, sometimes he'll
oftentimes he will give me the microphone after he finishes with the word, and I will do the altar call and exhort people to come to the altar for prayer. And then I will say to them, after they get to the altar, you know what? I'm getting ready to stand right here with you and receive this prayer for myself.
For myself. That's right.
Oh, that's powerful. That is a great observation. We need to, and that's what we were saying, I need to be saved day by day. You know, God is taking us from faith to faith and glory to glory. And my greatest humility, the most humbling moments of my life, and I have them often, the most humbling of moments of my life come to me when God comes and tells me, girl, you haven't arrived. You know, get over yourself, girl. So you somebody now, huh? You know, and God will speak to me like that, and it just gets my attention. And no, God, I am without you. I realize that I am nobody. You are who I am. You know, everything that I am is wrapped up in you, Lord. And when he reminds me of that, I just thank God. I thank God that even when I get beside myself, that I haven't gotten far away from God to the point where I don't hear his voice, where he can't come to me and just tap me on my shoulder or look me in my face and say, okay, daughter, you know, you're messing up right here. You know, this is something, and with us, especially as leaders, when we all mature Christians, I'm talking to the mature Christians out there too, those who have come to a point of being perfected, where we are not babes anymore, but we're growing up in the things of God, and we don't need just the milk, but we're eating some meat now, and we can start poking out our chest, you know, saying, oh, I got that, or I don't need that lesson anymore, oh, that's for the babes in Christ. No, sometimes the mature in Christ need to go back and drink some milk. You know, we need to go back to our first works. We need to go back to the lessons about walking in forgiveness, the lessons about walking in love, the lessons about making sure we have the fruit of the Spirit, the lessons about reading our Bible and meditating on the Word and staying connected to the vine. We want deep revelations when we get to a certain point. God is saying, no, go back and get the first revelation. Go back.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what I told you about your temper. Remember what I told you about your bad attitude.
Yeah.
You know, unforgiveness in your heart. You bitter. You got a cold heart right now towards that sister. Deal with it.
Yeah.
You know? So to God be the glory. Amen. Apostle, I hear you.
Yes.
I hear you saying it. I just
thank God. I thank God. I thank God for that mother calling in and saying what she said. I have been to many a service, and the Lord is using me to make altar call. And watch this. Position and title don't save you. Positions and titles do not save you. And there's a lot of people who hold positions and who hold titles in the church, and they're not saved. And because of their position and their title, here we go again, standing hiding behind that title. And when the altar call, who will you need to come repent? You say, well, I can't go up and repent because I'm apostle so-and-so. I'm bishop this. I'm pastor that. And the people have my vision, and y'all pray for me about this. I want to have a Zacchaeus revival. What I mean is, the Bible says Zacchaeus, he came to Jesus by night because he couldn't come while everybody was out there, because it was embarrassing for him to be seen in the company of Jesus. But
praise the Lord.
And by night, and the leadership in the church need to come back to Jesus. But they need a atmosphere that the members don't know. Okay, God moved. Uh-oh. Pastor needs this. Oh, Bishop, not them. Now, he needs to that we can get before God and really, really just, you know, hey, like you said, do your first work over. Do your first work. Because when you first got saved, you repented for every little thing. But now you're so high up, you don't repent about anything.
Wow.
But that
And that
is why, you know, when your bishop or your apostle or your call for pastors and leaders to come in for a conference and we get together, you know, but a pastors and ministers retreat, and a lot of them don't go, but they really realize it's like when the women come together, you know, and we as women, listen, you have the women's service, and we get together, and it's good even for brothers sometimes to be there, but it's good sometimes just for the women to be there so they can say things that they should not necessarily say in front of the brothers, and they can talk, not talking about men, but talk about their own problems, and they can spill out, and they can pray, and Pastor Rebecca, you know, because we've been in some, and a couple at my church with you, and women that I have been with on Sundays, and smiled and walked through looking glorious, like $1 million, and in a conference like that, they come together weeping like babies and crying out before the Lord with issues that they're going to church and not dealing with. Well, their leaders need to get together with their pastors and stuff and come to the pastors come together in that kind of atmosphere. I agree with you. So they can get together and they can empty out and they have a place where they can admit, listen, I'm not where I should be. I'm not doing the things I need to do. Even if they are confident or somebody they can go to and say, you know what, I'm tripping here. I have this weakness here. And let's pray. Let's get together and pray because God has placed them there. He hired you. We can't fire you. He's the only one who can fire you. All we can do is pray for you. And there's no need of thinking that the people don't know or the people of God don't see. And believe it or not, the world sees even more than we do.
But
we need that place of refreshment, the place where he can be refreshed in a group, in an environment where the pastors and ministers can be wholly truthful about where their stand is. Titles, you're right. And a lot of they sometimes hold people back, especially when they need to be able to. They need that emptying out. They need that refreshing. I mean, listen, dealing with us, the congregation, I'm sure is not easy. And dealing with all these different issues, these different spirits. These different and trying to minister to somebody who's got the wrong idea about what your agenda is and getting we just got to agree with Pastor Rebecca and Pastor Anthony and Holy with you that we just got to empty out before the Lord and help and be really applaud Pastor Rebecca because we had this conversation sometimes. Titles where a person, especially when we don't understand why this denomination has this name and this denomination has a name, and they can be tricks. But when you say to someone, it doesn't matter what you call me, as long as I know that and you know that I'm living all I know for the Lord, I'm just a child of the King. Those titles are for, of course, they are a hierarchy, order. There's order. There must be a pastor. There must be deacons. There must be this. There must be those for order. But when we all come before God, we're just going to be souls that he's going to either accept or reject.
Praise
the Lord. I love you all, but Pastor knows I get very emotionally and passionate. I really
love that about you, Mother Rose. And when we were talking last week, a week and a half ago, I love the fact that I was able to share with you, you know, because we all need somebody that we can talk to. And God is just so good. He's so good. He wants us more than anything to love him, to love him. And that's our primary goal. Primary focus should be to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, with everything in us. We have to love the Lord, love the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, love the Lord, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves, and love our people. Love people. This love walk, God's been dealing with me on this love walk. You know, love them anyway. Love, yeah, they hurt you, but love them anyway. Yeah, forgive them. Yeah, keep moving forward. Keep loving. But now it's just come so clear to me that that is the most important thing to God is love, because he is love. It's not the title. It's not the gift. It's not the office. It's not the position. It's the love of Jesus. It's the love of God. When if they can't see any love in us, the title doesn't matter anyway.
Anyway, that's right.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. You know, it's like, Lord, help us. Just help us. And this is for everybody. Whether you, I know we're going to talk about the position, the office, whether you have a title or not. If you are a Christian, and I thank God for Sister Carmen who's listening. And Sister Carmen, I met her in the dentist's office. I think she's still with us. I met her in the dentist's office a while ago. And I think she hung up already. But she was listening for a while. I met her in the dentist's office, and she was talking about her knee. And I asked her, we were in the Jewish, Dr. Solomon, he's Jewish. And we're in that dentist's office, and I'm Pastor Emily's back there with Dr. Solomon, and I'm sitting in the waiting room, and Carmen is there with her granddaughter. And they're talking, and I'm sitting there with my book, and I'm reading my book, and the peace of the Lord was truly upon me that day. And Carmen looks at me, and she says, the girl went to the restroom, and Carmen said, do you have kids? And I said, yes, I do. And then she said to me, she said, are you a Christian? And I said, yes, I am. And she said, oh, I can tell. You just, there's just something about you. You just look like you know the Lord. And I said, well, amen. Well, I'm glad. You know, thank you. I said, that's one of my goals, that people will know who I belong to. So then she was like, this knee, and she touched her knee, and she said, this, and there was another man sitting across from us. And she said, this knee is bothering me. So I said to her, I said, your knee is bothering me? She said, yeah, I had surgery. My knee is bothering me. I don't know if I could go back to work. I said, well, do you mind if I pray with you? Can I pray with you? And she says, yes. So I got up from where I was and sat next to her and held her hand. We bowed our heads and we prayed. So then Anthony, Pastor Anthony comes out, and Dr. Solomon comes to see what's going on. And I'm praying in his office, and I'm praying in the name of Jesus. And we're just praising God, not loud, because we know decently in order we're praising, but you knew we were praying. And after I prayed with her, she said, thank you. She said, can I have your name? Can I have your number? So I gave her my card, and she says, oh, you're a pastor? And I said, yeah. She said, who knew? And she looked at the man who happened to be her husband. Anyway, they came to my church, she and her husband and her daughter-in-law, April. And she brought April to the church, and April got saved that night And I'm like, and April got baptized a couple of weeks ago. But April got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, on fire for the Lord. Now April's bringing people to the church. Girl got her hairdresser. She met a girl in the hairdresser cave. That girl got saved on Sunday. And that's what God is saying. Like, is the love prevalent? Do people see the love? Because we don't need to be recycling Christians. We need to be saving souls. We need to be saving souls. So thank God for the love. All that matters at the end of the day is not your title. And this is for everybody listening. Look, are people that you're interacting with on a daily basis, are they experiencing the love of Jesus? Are they experiencing the love of Christ? And that's what God wants to know. Do you love me? Jesus said, do you love me? Do you love me? And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. In the last 7 minutes, I'm just going to let you guys go. Pastor Anthony, I know you're there. I don't know if you have anything to say. Mother, Apostle, you guys take it on out.
Yeah, I just want to say, Mother Rosa, that's such a godly insight as she chimed in on today's broadcast, that we're all sons and daughters of God. There are no stepchildren. There are no grandparents. We're sons and daughters of God. And the church that we came from actually had a professional psychologist on staff. And a lot of the leadership would see her privately to work out their issues. And a lot of churches, they're not fortunate to have a professional psychologist or a psychologist on staff. And those altar calls are just so powerful.
And even as a pastor, apostle, advocate, maybe you can agree that sometimes even my wife and myself, we kind of pull on the people because sometimes when they bring somebody to church and they know the altar calls for them, they think the person that they came with is going to judge them. Like, what were you up there for? And sometimes when it's a big church or even smaller church, you think somebody's going to judge you or pass judgment on you because you came with a need. The heck with that. We gotta get free. And sometimes as a leader, it's even a bigger dilemma when you go to the altar and you're trying to keep an image or reputation. And Mother Rosa, maybe you can add some insight or apostle to that we got to get beyond being judged by each other, and maybe the church needs to become more loving, as my wife just said.
Go ahead, Apostle.
Apostle Amica?
I'm sorry. I was listening. Jesus was walking through, leaving a powerful revival, and so there was a young man sitting on the side, on the sidewalk, and he was out there. He was the town knew him because he was a town baker, and so he asked. He said, "What's all that commotion?" He said, "Oh, Jesus is coming." So he said, he called and said, "Jesus, hey, come over here. I need to be quiet. He ain't got time for you." And they said, the more he said, "Be quiet," the Bible said, the louder he called Jesus. Because he knew that he really, this might be a once in a lifetime opportunity for my deliverance.
Wow.
And we got to, how bad do you want to be delivered? Are you worried about what people are gonna think or what people are gonna say? They just said one of the highest black women voices in church just confessed that she has been dealing with lesbianism. Young man a few years ago, months ago, he died from a drug overdose. Another guy, he was on TV. He said he was going through, and nobody called him and asked him, said, "How can I minister to you?" All they called him and said, "Doc, when can I get you to come preach at my church?"
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's going on with the body of Christ? That there is no place in, we can be superstars on open, but there's no place or nowhere that we can deal with our own issues. And nobody is allowing, and like Mother was saying, people looking at you. You have to get past that. You got to get past that.
Wow. Mother? Wow.
Well, Apostle and Pastor, I thank God because, you know, our pastor will, on a Sunday morning, if he's not feeling good or something, or if there's something, he'll say, "Today, church, I need your prayers more than ever." And he also allowed, yes, God has placed me in this position as your leader and as your pastor, but I want you to know that I need your prayers.
Yeah.
I need
you
to pray for me and pray with me. Because there are issues that I am facing. He said, you know, as a man of God, many times we can't come before you and tell you everything that's going on because there are confidences that we have to keep and things that we are going on that we just can't bring before the people. But I'm telling you, I need your prayers. And you know what? That makes you love him even more and want to pray for him for even more, and you recognize that, yes, he is your pastor. You know he's a man of God. You know she's a woman of God. You know that she's doing all she can to live according. But listen, the enemy is coming after you, pastors and apostles and people in leadership, even more so than he is those of us who are sitting out here under your teaching. He wants to take you down because you're the head. If he can destroy the head, he feels he has the body. And he does. So we've got to pray for our pastors and those that are in leadership. And they've got to be able to tell us, pray for me more than ever because I'm in a battle and I need you to pray for me.
Yeah.
Being humble is very important. It's important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's brought us full circle. That's what we're talking about, humbling ourselves beyond the title, beyond the position, and saying, Lord, it's me standing in the need of prayer. I need to repent. I need to reexamine my motives. I need help. I need prayer. So I just thank God for that. You all have just truly blessed the call-in broadcast on today. I thank God for each and every one of you calling in. It's 2:59, and we're not out of talk, but we're out of time for today. But I just thank God for each and every one of you calling in, and I just say God bless you and keep praying. Prayer is so powerful. That just is a good way to end, that prayer is a good way. The most powerful and effective way that we can help the leadership in the church today and even the congregation is by praying. So thank God for those of you who are praying, standing in the gap and praying for your leaders and praying for us, even as we do what we do over here at New Creation. So Pastor Emily and I say God bless you. And I don't know if you had anything to close with, Apostle Amica and Mother Rose, if you had any final words as we go down from this place.
No, I'm just thankful that I was able to be listen and hear. I'm not always, but I thank God for today, and I will continue to pray for you and Pastor Anthony and you too, all of God's people. But you too, and I'm just praying that God will continue to bless you and provide whatever it is that you need, that you your work will not be interfered with by in his name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Mother Rose. Apostle Amica?
Like you said, let's lift each other up in prayer. We don't know what people, and when the Holy Ghost put people on your mind, pray for them. Pray for them. You don't know what they're going through. You might not be able to talk to them right then to see what's going on, but prayer can go where we can. I live in Florida. Prayer can go all the way up to Elizabeth, New Jersey, into that home of pastor and prophetess, and I'm down here. And the same way, vice versa, they can be there and praying for me down here. And the Lord will move. The Lord will move. Let's keep each other lifting up in prayer. It's time to go back to prayer. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to do that, just that. I want to close in prayer. I want to ask Mother Rosa to close us in prayer. I have an announcement. At 4 o'clock today, there's an event, Women Empowerment Book Club, Walking in the Spirit of Excellence. It's a powerful empowerment session taking place at 4 o'clock today. Today, been organized by Lady Diana Flagg and Sister Tina Lane. It's Power Praise and Worship Ministry, 1420 Southwood Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. And you could go over there. There is no admission. The theme is My Life is the Book. My Life is the Book. Prophetess Angie Singletary and Sister Linda McCray from New Creation are being a part of that particular event. Sister Tina Lane is going to give a powerful testimony about my book, Nobody's Business. Go on over there if you're free. It's 4 o'clock today at Power Praise and Worship Ministry. And then on next weekend, on the 15th, I will be ministering. I'll be doing a workshop, God Made Me Who I Am, at a women's conference over in the town of Piscataway, New Jersey. It's going to be on Saturday, and we're going to be at the Embassy Hotel. The flyer is on my Facebook page, and the conference, it's a women's conference, and the conference hosts Bishop Keith Collins, and also the pastor is Reverend Melinda Wyatt Collins. And that is going to be a powerful, powerful conference. The Church of Living God is going to be hosting that conference, and you can get more information at my Facebook page. And then our conference is October the 12th through the 14th. You'll get more information on that next week. Woman Power. And the theme is Warriors on the Front Line. Mother, if you could just pray us out, amen, 304, and if you could just pray us out as we go down from this place.
Father, we thank you first and foremost for this time of sharing, and we thank you for your presence, Lord God. We ask that you would continue to bless this woman-to-man group, Lord God, in this the and God bring to discussion are spiritually building and uplifting. Bless everyone that is called and all those that have heard and will hear through the archives. Continue to bless people, your leaders, Lord God, be with them and guide them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Well, we're going to let that be the final word. God bless you. Love you. We love you both. Pastor Emily and I love you all. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you.
Amen.